what is this business of resilience that is so popular today? Why is it so squishy? Where does it come from? What does it mean?
I think it's squishy to the degree that it is used so often now, and it is sometimes considered to be a catch-all phrase for anything related to climate or the environment or vulnerability or people's ability to adapt. So folks are a little tired of hearing the term because they're not quite sure how it's defined and what it really means in terms of making a difference to people's lives. So resilience as a term in a coastal context is particularly important today because it talks about vulnerability, it puts in place a framework for planning for action, and it is a concept and a general idea that people can understand once they appreciate how it's being used.
And what does it mean to be resilient for a place that is being told that it's eroding away?
Yeah, this is something that I've heard not only in communities here in the United States, but in countries like Bangladesh. Bangladesh is one of the most resilient countries there is, but are they better off? That is the sort of a key question. So you can be resilient, but is resiliency a measure of an improvement in life? So I think when we have a community that is saying to us, you know, we're tired of being resilient. What they're saying is we're tired of being battered and we survive, but we're not moving forward. And this is exactly where the resilience movement and planning is now. We're not talking about just bouncing back. It's how do you bounce back better? And the only way that you can bounce back better is you plan for these shocks. So you know they're going to happen. You plan for them and you put in place mechanisms. You put in place systems. You put in place financial support so that communities are able to bounce back better. So I think when you hear communities say, you know, we're tired of being resilient, it's okay, enough. We're resilient. We know that. Thank you. But how do we move on? And this is where we are. How do we get beyond that?
So finally, why do you think this year's Environmental Journalism Conference is in New Orleans? And how do you see what's happening in Louisiana in terms of the larger picture of talking about resiliency and climate?
I think it's quite significant that the Society of Environmental Journalists meeting is in New Orleans this year. Emotionally, it's a really good place for people to come back and reflect on these issues because there's stories from the front lines. It makes a difference to be here. It means something to be here. It is real and concrete. These are no longer abstract shocks that are happening to us. I was recently chatting with a journalist from Fiji, and he said to me, Roger Mark, how do we get the American public to understand what's happening to our small island states or internationally and get them to act? And part of our discussion was coming to places like New Orleans, where it has happened, where people are dealing with it, where people feel a sense of urgency, and it sends a very powerful and visible message of regeneration and possibility and what needs to happen. This is the new reality, and New Orleans is at the forefront of it, and that has resonated within the country and globally. So it's quite significant for the SEJ to be here and to build on these messages with the journalists who are important messengers of the pressing issues of our time.
Roger Mark D'Souza, thank you so much for speaking with me at the Journalism Conference.
Thank you. My pleasure.